Fact. I love David. I know. Hopefully, no surprises there, because if you do not know me, my name is Kylie, and I am married to David, who is just conducting the band. But apart from David Collinson, I also love the David that we have read about in Scripture this morning, and we've started this series on just last week. I think on reflection, I've said here before that I love the Psalms, and so my affection for David has grown out of his writing of the Psalms. Now, I asked in the 9:30 and we only had one, how many Davids are here this morning? Is it just one again? See, it's really not helping my... Because I often thought of David as a commonly used name, although in our house, he's not really known as David. He's often called Dave or Dude or something else, Dad, or our eldest son calls him Cap from when he was a captain. It's very affectionate, you know. But anyway, I always thought of David as being a commonly used name. But when I was preparing for today and I was trying to think of some famous Davids, I got as far as David Beckham. And I kind of stopped there. So I asked when the staff were having lunch in the staff room on Tuesday, I think, if they could name me some famous Davids. And they said, oh, well, we can Google. And I said, no, well, I can Google. I want you to tell me. So this is who they came up with. There's some pictures on the screen of some fine-looking Davids. David Beckham is up there. David Letterman, David Schwimmer, The Hoff, David Hasselhoff. There's a few up there that you'll recognise. I'm not sure if I say this correctly, but David Unaipon, who was Australia's first published Aboriginal author, who is also on... Thank you, the $50 note. Good job. Yes, on the $50 note. So many Davids, all known for talents in certain areas, some for sport, some in the arts, some in other more general kind of entertainment, some may not call them entertainers, but all gifted in their own way. However, during my poll, it was very interesting that everybody that I asked all mentioned this David that we can see on the screen right now. The one from our current series, the one of David and Goliath fame, this statue was mentioned by everybody who I asked, probably one of, if not the most well-known Davids. If you were here last week, you'll remember that Jane shared with us about Samuel and how God asked Samuel to go and anoint the son of Jesse who would one day be king. Samuel did what the Lord asked him and he went and anointed the youngest son, David. And this is where we've started the scripture again this week, which is a little bit of an overlap from last week's scripture reading. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. But then the very next verse of 1 Samuel 16 says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully over David, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. It's hard for us to know what this actually means. I've done some reading this week, and I think probably some of the commentators, it's their best guess as what it meant when the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. Some have said that perhaps he lost his charismatic power, that he was no longer functioning normally, whatever that means. Perhaps he suffered from terrible mood swings. Even was he agitated. We don't really know, but what we do know is that Saul's attendants suggested that they could find someone, of all things, who would play the harp or the lyre to Saul in order to soothe him. You know, throughout the ages, music therapy has been and still is used to calm troubled souls. And Saul's loyal servants thought that this might be helpful for him also. So one of the servants said, I have seen a son of Jesse in Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre or the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. So here in this verse, really it's the first time that we hear about David's God-given gifts and abilities. If you remember last week, Samuel went through all of the sons that he thought should be anointed to be the king before he got to the youngest son. So perhaps David's abilities and his gifts and his talents were not evident then. But we did last week then see that God had chosen David. And Samuel did what was requested and he anointed him. But this week we look at David's ability. And I promise that next week and the week after and the week after, if you come, there'll be another A word from the story of David. But before I go any further this morning, I want you to think about this next question as I continue to speak. If ability is defined as talent, skill, or proficiency in a particular area, what ability have you been given by God? Romans 12:6 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And this was the same for David. God had given him the ability to play the harp and he did it well. In fact, David served the Lord with his ability, with diligence, with excellence, using his uniqueness and his experiences. And so I want to work through those four things this morning. Firstly, let's look at diligence. David was anointed to be king, but not yet. Before David became the king, he worked and he served as a shepherd, taking care of the sheep, playing the harp. And now here he is being summoned to become the harpist for King Saul. David had been given this ability and he was given the opportunity to play for the king. Well, clearly David had been given a gift and he was diligent with that gift. He used the gift to serve the king. And in doing so, he would have been given some insight into the requirements and the duties that he would carry out when he would become king some years later. One commentary I read this week said that Saul was unknowingly being used to introduce his successor to the future that had been laid out for him. There was this period of waiting. Yes, David had been anointed, but in fact, he was still with the sheep, it said in the scripture reading, when they summoned him to come and play for King Saul. They had to go and get him from the fields in order for him to play the harp for the tormented king. But David was diligent with the ability that God had given him. He developed it and he used it to serve God, his king and country. So when you think about the abilities that God has given you, are you diligent with them? David also displayed excellence. To be perfectly frank today, it's clear that David was not a hack on the harp, for want for a better word. You know, there are harpists and there are harpists. Has anyone here ever heard a mediocre harp player? Well, I can tell you that at a core that we were at, there was a lady, an older lady, who thought that she would learn the harp in retirement. And I have to tell you that it was not all that great. The harp is a very hard instrument, I'll give her that. But then at another call we were at, we once had a guest harpist come at Christmas time who was amazing. Now, I think that if David had not have been good on the harp, then it would not have soothed Saul's tormented well-being at all. In fact, it could possibly have tormented him more if David was not good. But not only did David display diligence, he also showed excellence. And let me be clear, when I say excellence, I don't mean perfection. I mean he worked at it. He did his best. God does not expect us to be perfect, but I believe that he deserves and expects us to do our best. And this usually involves putting in the work. And this is often done in private, away from others. David was positioned to play the harp for the king because he was first positioned to play the harp when no one was looking. Do you display excellence with the ability that God has given you, working at it when no one is looking? So here we are with David. And I've said it multiple times, he'd been anointed by Samuel to one day be the king. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons. And he is described as a brave, fine-looking warrior who speaks well, a shepherd who played the harp. Perhaps a little confusing. How often do you think of warriors who play harps? Probably not things that you would put together. And David obviously didn't fit the mold that even his dad and his brothers thought should be anointed to be the king, which brings me to his uniqueness. You know, when David turned up to the battle against the Philistines, we're going to look at that another time, even there his brother told him to go back to the sheep. David was young, he was a shepherd. As a harpist, he wasn't a soldier. And David went forward, and I don't want to spoil the story if you don't know it, but he went forward and wanted to fight Goliath. And Saul dressed him in his armour, and David said, "No, I can't wear this." David was unique, and he embraced it. He didn't apologise for who he was or how he was going to go about things. God had made him exactly the way he wanted him. And David used his uniqueness as he served both Saul and God. Do you embrace your uniqueness and use your ability to serve God and others? And finally, just for a minute, let's talk about David's experience. All of David's life before he became king, all of his experiences prepared him for the days ahead. David's decision to simply do his job, to be a shepherd, to learn the harp, to do all that with diligence, with excellence, and with his own uniqueness, are what prepared him to fulfill what God had planned for him later in life. He used all of these experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly, the hard, to build upon, to make him the person who he was when he became the king. Now, I believe that's still to be true today, that God will arrange every experience of our lives to help serve his purpose in the world. God will take everything that we have been through, every lesson we have learned, and pair it with our faith and our faithfulness, and he'll use it to accomplish his purposes in this world. Are you allowing God to use your experience in what he has planned for you? In what he has planned for you as you love and serve him? You know, there are people in our faith community, people here today that I know have been through some really difficult and challenging times. Some people who may say that God can't use what life has thrown at me. Well, I'm telling you that he can. Your story is not over yet. There may be some sitting here this morning saying, but I don't have any great abilities, and I want to dispute that. You know, I shared earlier from Romans 12, and this is what these verses say in full. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. It's not only about being a musician or a warrior. There are so many different abilities and gifts that God gives to people. I said in the 9:30, and I'll say it again because it does make me feel uncomfortable, but I want you to actually have a look around the room. Just have a look around at the people who are here today. So many different abilities and gifts that God has given. It's always dangerous when you list people off, but let me just share a couple with you. I think of people like Will and Kerry who are out there now. If you come here during the week, they serve up in the cafe. They have got this servant heart that God has given to them. Other people like John, who also hangs around here during the week, he's out there now, but he moves furniture and also wants to serve. They pack and unpack food. And then, without embarrassing people, Joyce, I talked about you in the 9:30 and you weren't there, so I'm glad you're here in the 11. Someone like Joyce, who wants to pray for me and for others. What a gift that is. People like Bev Snitch, who gives me cards. Other people who send me text messages, and I know this is true for Sarah as well, encouraging us. The scripture says if your gift, if your ability is to encourage, then you need to encourage. People who use their musical gifts and talents. The members of the band, we have Gabe who blesses us with his music, his piano playing. He does it with excellence and with diligence. I think of others, someone like Richard Eden who uses his gift in administration maybe to put together a roster for the car park, and some people may say he's putting together a roster. And I say, yes, but last year that roster raised us $12,000 to help us do mission in the Parramatta area. We have people who lead and teach Bible study groups, who open their homes and to small groups and life groups and show the gift of hospitality. So many of you pastorally care for one another. Sarah and I have been so encouraged by people who have recently put up their hands, or put up their hand again even, to help with the Connect site and the new way that that is going to have to start operating. People like Judith Walker and Jan Roberts who are going to do that. And I could go on and on about the people who use what God has given them to serve him and to serve others. You know, ability is defined as talent, gift, or proficiency in a particular area. What ability have you been given by God? Are you being diligent with it, treating it with excellence and embracing the uniqueness of how God has made you and gifted you? Are you using all of your experiences to help further advance the kingdom of God? And using it to help bring heaven on earth. Well, this week I followed Jane's advice and Googled as I was preparing for my message and came across this quote from Irma Bombeck, who was a newspaper columnist wrote numerous books. But it really caught my attention and probably spoke deep to me. It says, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me. I would not have a single bit of talent left. I used everything you gave me. God gives to us our abilities, our gifts, our talents. And my prayer for each one of us is that we would continue to serve him with diligence and excellence, embracing our unique selves and serving him and others with our life experiences. Shall we pray? God, I just want to thank you that we are able to come here today and to worship you and to look at your scripture. I thank you that you have gifted every person in this room with abilities and talents. Lord, I thank you for your word, and in your word we find the story of David and how we can learn lessons from him. Lord, help us not to keep our talents to ourselves. Help us to use them to show our love for you and our love for others. Help us to embrace our uniqueness and our life experiences to make the world a better place. Lord, we are grateful for your love for us, and we know that out of your love, you gave us Jesus and you gave us our abilities. Lord, may we use them each and every day to glorify you and to bring honour to your name, I pray, in and through the blood of Jesus. Amen.